Log Talk Radio. Log Talk Radio.
This is DDP, Diamond Dallas Page, and you're listening to DDP Radio.
Yo, what's
up? DDP Radio.
DDP Radio. Oh, my. Starting it off with the usual cluster fiasuck of the day. Try to get on with Robert. Of course, got all lined up. I'm on time. I'm about to lay the station down, plug in my headset, and my Skype refuses to call through. So I tried a few more times. In the meantime, I say, all right, screw it. It's not going to work. I might as well head over to my own phone and try on my house phone. And then Mark Merrow calls me up and says, D, I can't get in. I've tried to call in. So hopefully he's on the line. Robert, how the hell are you today?
I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you fine. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, loud and clear.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm on my house phone this time. So one of the things about being a wrestler and having to, having the wear and tear of your body, one of the things that stops working immediately is your elbows. And it's okay. You can still use them and move them. But when you stay in a position like holding a phone up to your head the whole time, it gets really painful at times. So I'll be switching a lot on the headsets today. Since we had to improvise this and set it over to my house phone, please call these guys up and find out what the hell the problem is with this. I mean, we shouldn't have a problem at this time, especially going back as many times as we've had. We're going to have a great show today. We turned negative into a positive. I was breathing all through this, practicing my breathing, coming into, two more seconds so you have to start the show. We've got one of my favorite people on the planet on today, Mark Merrow, the one and only Johnny B. Bad. If you've been listening to or been watching or subscribing to The Real DDP, my video blogs each week, you know that I'm in my feud right now, chronologically taking my career one step at a time. Right now, I'm in 1995, and I've already lost the mark numerous times. This week, I put up a promo to set the stage for our I believe it's our last match that we have. I'm not exactly sure of that. I'm pretty sure it is. So, never beat that son of a gun. But he'll be on here tonight, and we'll talk about that. He's got a brand new book out. Let me see if I'm going to grab it right now. Hold on, to take me dead air for a second. How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet. I've read this book. I advise it to anybody and everybody that wants to live life with a positive attitude, because my brother here, he does it at a whole different level, and he shares it with a lot of different kids and adults, and he's making a really big impact across the country and around the world. I will let him tell you a story when he went to Russia to speak to the people there with his translator and everything. Pretty great story, but I'll let him share that with you. What have I been up to? Well, if you've been following The Real DDP, you've seen 1 through 3 of Bluefield Hell. Something I decided to call it Bluefield Hell after I got to my second installment. I was at my daughter's house in Birmingham when the ice storm came. Thank God I got out of Bluefield. And my buddy Toby, like I said, if you were watching the videos, you know who Toby is. In the beginning, a lot of you sort of mocked my buddy Toby because he was that, that redneck hillbilly from the hills of West Virginia. But by the second and third episode, you realize that Toby is probably one of the sweetest, most sincere individuals on the planet. And, everybody should be like Toby, man. He's a great guy. And I really get that over in the next 2 episodes, which we still have a lot to we still got a lot of things that happened backstage, and it was a great ride. And I'm so glad that I actually videoed that whole clusterfuck. That's all I can call it. But it turned into something that people are, you know, regarding as one of the greatest road trip stories of all time, basically because we had the video camera. I wish I would have went up to Jesse. The road dog Jesse James after or during, and Billy Gunn from you know, his tag team partner, and just got some of their thoughts. And I did, but I didn't think to have the video camera. So I really learned a lot from this reality DDP episode. So the next one I do will even be better because I learned a lot from filming as I was talking, and all that footage was me shooting myself or whoever I was trying to talk to. So if it gets you a little seasick at times, sorry. But that's called guerrilla shooting. Where did I just get back from? I went from spending 3 days down in Birmingham with my daughter, Brittany. And if you're going to get, like, snowed in, iced in, her house is the place to do it because it was like a resort. And she's a phenomenal cook, and her boyfriend's a great guy. And every night we did YRG and kick-ass workouts. They're all warriors, both of them. And then I hopped in a car and went up to Atlanta for a couple of days, and then I flew into Connecticut. I was in right outside of Hartford, Connecticut, and a buddy of mine who I met at a good fortune of meeting named David Gear had brought me in to he was executive producer to shoot a short film that was called Hard Luck. And Hard Luck is the story of a guy, not me, but this guy who's called the Haggard Man. He knows real names in this because only a 10-minute or 12-minute short that has a really bad day. And he finds himself in a, you know, tough position like so many of us today, you know, not being tough, making it's really tough to make ends meet, and he's not really supporting his family. So he walks on the darker side and ends up doing a bank job, and he's the driver, and they rob a armored car. And it's funny because the guy who wrote this and who is also the director and writer, Curtis is actually an armored car driver. So he wrote this script about this guy who was the driver of this big heist on the armored car, and then later on, the main bad guy, which is DMC from Run DMC. It was pretty cool because all the internet, like, loaded. I almost had 40 different websites that carried this whole DMC and DDP, you know, Hard Luck short film out there, which was pretty cool. And I didn't get a chance to meet DMC, but I'm sure I will when we premiere the movie. But he shot on one day, and then I shot on the other. We both worked with the same young actor who was very, very good, who played the Haggard Man, who had a really bad day. And there's some really good moments in that film, and I'm so really glad I did that. Went up there in Connecticut, and I got to meet the other executive producer, David Pearsall, who invited me up to it's a charity thing that they're doing in Boston. And so I'm leaving tomorrow morning to fly into Boston. I'll get there tomorrow night around 9. And then while I'm there, I'm going to be working. I wish I could see the information in front of me. My computer's on one side of the room and my phone's on the other. But it's they teach huge groups of people CPR because the next 9/11 or the next major problem that hits, maybe we don't have enough, you know, CMTs around, or, you know, paramedics or whatever around to help people. So they're teaching masses of people CPR. So I'm going to be doing that for like 3 hours, and then after that, I'm going to be hanging out with David Pearsall, who actually has expressed an interest in helping to, you know, get the real DDP. My next level of YRG out there, and I've all been calling it DDP Zero Impact Zone or Zero Impact Fitness, which is YRG, and just rebranding it all over again, which is pretty exciting. So that's what I'll be doing this weekend. So that's my update on all the things that have been happening in the life of DDP. Do we have our first of all? Is Stacy on? Stacy, are you on here?
Yeah, Yeah, hi.
Hey, babe. How was your trip to California?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. I'm just sorry that I missed you.
Unbelievable, guys.
I know.
Yep, I was probably 2 hours from where, filming the movie, probably 2 hours, 3 hours where Stacy lives. She flew out to California when I flew out to the East Coast. So you had a great time, huh?
Yeah, I can see why people love living there. Yeah,
everybody gets immediately smitten and loves California until they get here and they realize, wow, this place is really expensive. Yeah, then the reality sets in.
I took the double black diamond with me on the road, so it traveled well, and I was able to, you know, keep in the routine.
Well, you can always do that. That's great. That's great to know. And, you know, it's good that you actually could come out here and experience this with this new life that you have. It's pretty exciting. Pretty exciting. I'm happy for you. Now, Dougie, is Dougie our monster motivator on?
Yes, I'm on.
So how was your week, bro?
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know, just planning to come out and see you one more time and also head out to Germany in the next month and a half.
Yeah, Angie was making up some for, yeah, we're getting ready to put it online. My Picky Eaters is about to go online. If not this week, it'll guarantee before February because we have a Valentine's special and we're going to be putting out the chocolate chip cookies and all the different, the muffins, the chocolate chip muffins, the blueberry muffins, the cranberry and walnut muffins, the brownies. And she was making them. She goes, Doug's coming back out here, isn't he? In the middle of cooking up some of the stuff. I said, yes, he is. I said, I'm sure he can't wait to try some of the new stuff. So she had mentioned your name and reminded me that you'd be coming out here before you're leaving for Germany, right?
Yes, sir. March 13th.
March 13th. You got your marching orders. Okay, I've got my my two cohorts here in crime here to lead us on to another hour with my man. And he's on the line. Am I correct, Robert? Robert? Okay. All right. I'm just going to say he's on the line because I think Robert would stop me if he wasn't on the line. And I know he called in the middle of me trying to get myself on the line. He is a former world television champion. I know because he beat me for the world title belt. He is a intercontinental champion. He is a champion of choices, one of my closest friends and someone who I really have a ton of respect for, the one and only Mark Merrill. Are you there, brother?
EDP, I'm here.
I'm so glad you were here.
Well,
I'm so glad you were on the other end of that file.
I got to say hello to Doug and Stacy. Good to hear your voices, you guys.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
So, Mark, what before we get into the book and everything else, what have you been doing? What's been happening in the life of Mark Merrill?
EDP, I've been traveling. I just came back from New York where I did 19 presentations in 6 days. So it's a crazy tour, but it was, man, just so many, you know, it's such an inspiration to see so many people change their lives. And you know, whether it's through fitness, diet, through, you know, renewing your mind, getting closer to God, whatever it is, it's a blessing to watch.
So let's talk about the book. Let's go right into the book. I love the picture of you on this. At the bottom you got dream big, laugh often, think pause. How to be the happiest person in the planet. Now, before we get into it, you tell us what was your inspiration in this. What are the three most important things that you need to do to be the happiest person on the planet?
Well, one of them it really is happiness and attitude is a choice. A lot of people that say, well, so-and-so makes me miserable, that means you allow them to make you miserable. And I always tell people that if someone angers you, they control you. And I really found that not having bitterness or resentment or anger or unforgiveness in your life is really a key to being happy and positive every day. But it's a choice I make every morning. I choose to be happy. I choose to have a great day. But I got to say, it's actually something that really goes along with what you also teach in 90% is that it's not about the circumstance or the situation, it's how we react to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that, I think that's a huge point you made there. So many people say, she made me do that. And I still catch myself doing that. Once in a blue moon, me and Angie, we'll, you know, we'll hit it hard, you know, yelling at each other. And I'll also even catch myself saying, you didn't make me. And I go, you're right. And before you say, now I've caught myself to a point where I know it's me allowing that to happen. And it goes back to being a little kid. He made me do that. She made me do that. That's bullshit. No one makes you do anything.
And you know, some of our greatest opportunities are a result of our greatest disappointments. Or sometimes, you know, I always tell people, you got to pass failure on the road to success. And one of the things that probably more so I learned from you more than anything else that I've ever learned from anybody was that it's not how many times you get knocked down; it's how many times you get back up. And because you and I started together in the business, and we are both a little bit long in the tooth, if you want to say, being rookies. I signed with WCW at 31 years old. I think you started when you were 35, I believe, right?
Yep.
Right. And, you know, it's how many times, you know, the thing about when you set goals and take action towards your goals, you're going to meet a lot of negative people. People will tell you why you can't do something, why you're not fast enough or big enough, or why it costs too much money. And the reason people will tell you that you can't do it is because they can't do it. And I see this all the time. Surround yourself with positive people. Delete the people in your life that are a negative influence, because negativity breeds negativity.
I totally agree with you, man. And, you know, all you have to do is look at the guys who used to be like crack smokers or dealers or, you know, or junkies in general. They can't hang with those people anymore. You know, alcoholics, the guys you used to party with all the time. You can't hang with those people anymore. I know me and Stacey talked about a long time ago, you know, there was a point in her life where all of a sudden, she, you know, you can't hang with those same people. The only thing you were social on was eating. You know, if you're going to reinvent yourself, you got to go all the way through it. Yeah, I totally agree. And what's your third thing?
Well, you know, one of the things I really subscribe to, Dallas, which has really helped me, is I really write down my dreams and my goals, you know. Actually, when I wrote down my book, for example, I put on a post-it note on my computer, book 2010. My book came out December 15, 2010. I've had it on my computer for 2 years. I really believe that when you put something in front of you, it becomes a daily reminder of what you want to accomplish in your life. And again, I tell people to look at abbreviations. Like, for example, when I wanted to start my own gym, Dallas, in 2005, I wrote on my computer on the same post, on a different post note on my same computer, I wrote G-06, meaning that I want to open a gym in 2006. By seeing that every day I got on my computer, it made me take action towards that goal. I had to find out what kind of insurance I needed, what kind of square footage for my health club, what kind of equipment I wanted to buy. But every day I started taking action towards that goal, and I opened up my gym in November of 2006. But I see dreams and reality. Dreams become reality when you put it in front of you, and it makes you accountable to achieving these goals.
Again, you know, 1, 2, and 3, right, you know. I often say, I don't remember where I heard it, but I heard it somewhere, don't think it, ink it. You know, you have to take for granted the power of the written word, you know, because that manifesting it in, you know, into a reality. You know, I'll never forget when I was, you know, Dusty Rhodes was always my mentor, and he would let me vent to him about the booking committee and how they were never going to let me, you know, be, you know, give me that opportunity, and I would vent. And I remember one time, Mark, saying to him, you know, Dream, I know I'm not going to ever be you or Flair or Hogan. I know I'm never going to be the world champion, but, you know, if they just let me have that Rick Rude spot, just that opportunity. And then he goes, what did you say? I said, well, I know I'm never going to be you or Flair or Hogan. I mean, if I would have stayed with it when I was 22 and kept going, maybe I could have been, but not now. I mean, I started too late and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, no, what did you say after that? I said, well, I'm never going to be the world champion, dude. And he goes, then why the hell are you doing this? He said, D, if you don't think you have the ability to be the world champion, to be the very best in this business, you need to get out now. And I just went, you're right. And I wrote it down right there, bro. I wrote it down right there. I said, I will be the world champion in 5 years. And it's like 4 years, 4 months, and 14 days later. It was something like, those are not those exact numbers, but it's right around that period. 4 years, 4 months, and like 14 days. I'm the world champ. I'm in Tacoma, Washington, putting that belt over my head, you know? So the power of the written world, amazing. So when you were writing this book, and you've got a lot of really great things in here, and you've got a lot of details how people can apply to their own life, which I really love. What are some of your favorite stories that come out of this book?
Well, you know, some of the rituals I do. For example, the ritual of my wife and I, how we throw out a marble every week. The average person lives to 75 years old. So me being 50 years old, I if I lived to the average life of a normal person, I've got about 25 years left on this planet. So what I did was I took a marble for every weekend. We call it a Saturday or Sunday, for every weekend I have left of my life, which is about 1,300 marbles left. We put them in a glass jar. My wife and I walk out to our dock on our lake, and we say a prayer together, and we reminisce about what an awesome week we had, and then we throw the marble into the lake. But by watching these marbles diminish in this glass jar, makes you appreciate how precious life is. And you start remembering birthdays and anniversary, but what's really important in this life.
Yeah, dude, I really like that idea. I like that idea.
And it's, you know, it's having a maintaining an attitude of gratitude, man. Just being grateful for everything you have in life, you know. People get so fixated on making a living, DDP, that they forget to make a life. And I believe that, you know, we were very guilty of that because, you know, many times we always believe that being rich and famous is what's going to make you happy in life. So many people believe that success is the key to happiness, but in all reality, happiness is the key to success. I've never been more fortunate, more happy, had more good things happen to me. And a lot of it is because the more you give in your life, the more you get back in your life.
I totally agree with you, brother. Hey, Robert, what's the phone number? Because people want to call in. Because I want to open the lines early with Mark, because he's got such a great message, and we both have the same similar viewpoints on life. But if people want to ask questions, I'm sending out a tweet right now that I have Mark on DDP Radio. But what's the number that people can call in? So I'm going to tweet it, and Mark, you might want to tweet it too out there to your peeps. And what do you got, Robert? What's the number they can call?
It's 347-994-1216.
So let me write that again.
Mm-hmm.
And that is 347. I'm looking right at it. 994-1216. So if you got a question for me or for Mark or Stacy or Doug, you know, come on in. This is DDP's Radio Roundtable, and that's what it's about. It's about coming on the show and talking about a subject. But if you got a question or whatever, you know, we can bounce it around the room, what you think about that. You know, it's really an open forum. It's no real, you know, there's nothing that we're stuck to. So do we have anybody online or anything, Robert, that want to pop in?
Yeah, actually, we do. We've got four people lined up already.
All right, well, let's go right
to the first one.
Who's number one?
Number one is Chris.
Hey, guys.
Are you there, Chris?
Yes.
Hey, Chris, where are you from?
I'm from Boston.
Boston. Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to be up there tomorrow. Or, yeah, tomorrow night.
That's good.
You got a question for Mark?
Yeah, I've got it for both of you guys, kind of. I've been in a wheelchair, like, most of my life. And, you know, I'm pretty much, like, accepted, like, you know, just not to complain about life, you know? Like, just live life like, you know, the way it should be, you know? And, like, you guys' stories, like, really inspire me to, like, want to, like, you know, like, do stuff, you know what I mean?
Like what?
Just like, just recently, I got a different machine. So I do stuff more like through the movies, just do stuff I used to do.
How old are you?
27.
And what happened to you?
Have you ever heard of MD? Muscular dystrophy?
Yeah, of course.
I've had that for a while. But the doctors have been pretty good. But basically my question was because sometimes I have problems with my stomach. And I was wondering, do you have any ideas I could eat, help my stomach or something?
What's the matter with your stomach? I don't understand.
Not to sound gross, but I get constipated sometimes. And I don't know if anything I can do, I'm not sure what to say. Kind of say backwards.
It's okay, kid. It's okay. So what is your question exactly?
Basically, I was wondering, do you have any ideas or a diet plan that would improve
Well, then, with a meal plan, what are you eating right now? What's your normal menu?
Kind of depends. Some pizza, grilled cheese. It's probably too much cheese, probably.
Well, the bottom line is for me, if you can't kill it or grow it, don't eat it. That's what I try to, especially if you're having problems with breathing. I would get with a nutritionist, though, and talk to them and find out, because go through your blood work, and you have a disease that is very serious, and I'm not really authorized. I don't have the knowledge there, to tell you the truth, buddy. But I do know that I would tell you to go to a nutritionist, and I could send you to one. If you email me at robert@dallaspage.com, I'll send you a great one, and she could tell you not exactly what to eat, but also vitamin levels and stuff, and it might really help you.
Yeah, I'll just look into it.
Email me. Email me at robert@dallaspage.com.
Yeah, definitely.
I just want to say something to the caller. I got to commend you for calling in. You're a very brave person, and I really, really admire you for what you're going through. But you got such a great attitude, man. I hope people that are listening can listen to this guy, because man, people like you are people that I really get inspired by, and have such a great attitude. No matter what adversity has come your way, you deal with it, and you're still plugging away and wanting to do something great in this world. I think it's awesome, man. I really admire you. Last week I spoke to Lex Luger, and I was thinking of him recently and how good he's doing after being paralyzed and finally walking again. And he's that great attitude, and I really believe they always say attitude is altitude, because it's make your life special. And I want you to know something, buddy. You really do inspire me, and I hope you for
thank you guys too. Both you guys, Mark and Diamond, I appreciate how you guys are so much into not just being famous, but you're into helping people out, So I appreciate what you guys do.
Okay.
Okay, definitely.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Keep up the attitude, Chris.
Right,
who we got next, Robert?
Next, we actually have Officer X.
Officer X.
What's up, guys?
Hey, buddy. I know you're a big fan. Have you ever met Mark Merrill besides?
Yes, I did. I did at a convention, the one that actually Kimberly did for me. She introduced me to him.
I know you're a big fan of Double M. Yeah.
Oh,
what do you got to say to him?
Oh, I love the book. I'm looking at it right now. Oh my God, good stuff. all that, as much as I love wrestling and everything and YRG and life, I love, I'm a way huge mark for positive thinking because it works. 110% works.
Oh, man, I know who this is. Officer X, is that the name we go by?
Yeah. Well, actually, RVD gave him that name.
Okay.
The name's got to be changed to protect the guilty.
I had a great
time with you Saturday night. Those guys were really cool. What a nice night.
Yeah, I'm going to be, dude, you heard me say it. I'm going to be up in Boston. I'm going to be up there tomorrow night. So,
how long are you going to be there for?
I want to be there Saturday for that free, and I don't know if I mentioned exactly what the charity was that this guy set up. It's pretty cool. You know, it's called Athletes for America. I finally got a hold of this when Mark was talking. And what they're doing is they get a bunch of different athletes together, and they help people from everything from a lot of CPR work and teaching people, you know, mass groups of people how to do it. If you go to athletesforamerica.com, there's an amazing inspirational story of this young wrestler who literally was born with no legs, and he wrestles at 125, and he is a stud. You got to see the story that he has of him. It's a little video there. But I'm going to be up there tomorrow night, and then we're going to do our thing on Saturday. I'm going to hang out Saturday night and talk to those guys about relaunching DDP Zero Impact. Doing all that, and then I'll be heading home on Sunday. So if you're off,
I'll call you. But you better dress warm. It's going to be 6 below 0 without the wind Saturday, bro.
I'm leaving. Today was 77, no humidity, and gorgeous. But then again, you pay to live out here for that.
Oh, I love it. I love LA. Okay, let's get back to the subject matter at hand.
Yeah.
But I'm 100% in tune with what you guys think. Like, honestly, I get up every single morning, and I love to click that Facebook. I get up at 5:30 in the morning, so I got to have the guys going to the police academy at 7:15. I get pissed, Mark, when you post late, because I like to read that stuff before I leave the house. So start getting up early, will you?
Yeah, tell people what you do, Mark. For people who don't know, Mark, tell them what you do about your quote.
I'm sorry, Dale, say that again.
Tell the people what you do if you go on your Facebook, and which Facebook it is, because you got like 5 of them or something.
Well, Facebook only allows you to have 5,000 friends, so I, just like yourself, we had to start another page, and there's a, so when you go on the page, it's actually the cover of my book, How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet, is the one that I believe Officer X is talking about. But I'm up every morning at 4 o'clock in the morning, so I usually try to post early in the morning, and there's just positive thoughts that I have, and I write down about things that maybe will inspire someone to have a great day.
Oh, I love that. I take that from that Jerry Maguire thing where he claps his hands together and he goes, "Today's going to be a great day." And I do that sometimes too, dude.
I get my 5-year-old son, every day I get up to him. As soon as he gets up, I say, "Joseph, what kind of a day is it going to be today?" He goes, "It's going to be a great day and a happy day." So we're training him. You got to train him young.
That's great. I love it.
You got to train him. You guys, you'll get a kick out of this, right? I'm in DDP mode now. I'm laying on the couch with an ice pack on my neck and one on my ankle because these kids are killing me, but I can't let them know that, So my wife says, "What are you doing? You're 40 years old." I go, "No, honey, I'm a stud. I can hang with these kids, I said, she says, "You might be a lot of things, but you're not a stud," before she went to bed, But it's mind over matter, Everything is mind over matter. Attitude is a choice, and I always find when I get down dark, because it happens sometimes more frequently than other, if you move and breathe and you just think about like this last guy you called in, there's always someone who's not too far away from you who's in a worse spot than you are. You got to be grateful for the little things.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We got another caller on that line. Hang on here, Officer X. We'll open the discussion floor. So what else we got there, Robert?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy night because we've got about 12 callers right now.
Sweet. Sweet, love it. That means they can all be listening to what we're talking about right now. That's a great thing. That's why I wanted to go back and do the blog talk, because people could be calling in. So I just threw it up on my Twitter. I'm sure Mark did too, so people can just call in and listen to the show. They don't even have to be on their computer. They could be driving somewhere or something. So who's our next caller?
Next is we've got Jesse, who actually was supposed to work security in Bluefield when you were there.
Ah! Hey, Jesse.
Hey, DDP. Let's talk about Bluefield Hell. That's across the fuck right there.
it was a hell of a time, man.
If I didn't call off and I saw you sit on the side of the road, I would have taken some heat.
So you were supposed to work the show, but you decided to blow it off?
I actually was supposed to work the show. I've been waiting 3 years to get back in the ring to wrestle, and since I've been out based on, I lost my mom in 09, lost my grandpa in 08, and we lost our son in 09, and he brought him back to life. He saved his life, brought him back to life, and thank God.
That's great.
And I was
absolutely.
Sorry, go ahead, sir.
I said absolutely. Thank God on that, brother.
Yes, and I was supposed to, I've been waiting 3 years to get into the ring, back in the ring, and I had a company called NWA, Mountain State Wrestling, that your brother, Stro, the maestro, worked for. And so they wanted me to come down and work it, and I contacted him maybe a week before the show happened. And he started cussing me out, you know, that's bad business, you know. And I'll make sure you'll never get booked anywhere at all ever again. And I'm like, yeah, you may have connections to promoters, but you can't just stop somebody not getting booked because they went 3 years to get back in the ring, you know? And because I was supposed to work security, and the guy was only going to pay me $20, he said, to get me back home on. And I got like a 3 to 4 hour drive. And I was like, I can go make $50, but adding up that $20 right there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, dude, you didn't miss anything. And if anything, you got to see some entertaining footage.
That's,
you know, I go backstage on Bluefield episode 4 or 5. So you got a question for Mark, or just a statement, kid?
That's what my teacher said, too. I talked to my teacher and you and Jesse James was having a ball at Bob Evans.
Wasn't Bob Evans, Cracker Barrel, baby.
Cracker Barrel, I apologize. But anyways, your brother, Billy Gunn, is matching my teacher. He actually was supposed to meet up in Bluefield, West Virginia, and he was supposed to work with me a little bit there before it happened.
Oh, maybe next time, kid. Appreciate you calling in, man.
Hey, can I give you my website? I've got a website going on here, if it's okay.
Sure. Yell it out.
I got some indie wrestlers and plus myself looking for bookings. It's called www.bookusnow.web.
Hey, that's cool. Like it, kid.
There's working videos on there. There's promo pictures. There's promo bios on there. Like that. You click on the pictures and you'll see the bios.
Okay, kid. Appreciate you calling in, man. Have a great one. Robert,
hey,
who you got next?
Dallas, you taught him well.
Yes. Well, he got all the stuff in. I like that. But I couldn't let him keep promo. We got other people on here.
Oh yeah. Next up, we have Sparky, actually.
Hey, Spark.
Hey, what's going on, Dallas? What's up, Mark, Doug, Stacy? Hey, Sparky. Hey, yeah. You know, this word for Mark. I got the book. Loved the book. Picked it up one night. Read it cover to cover. There was so much in there for me, from, you know, losing loved ones, or, you know, I got getting bullied when you were young and being comfortable sort of about talking about it. But one of the things I saw, Mark, in that I thought maybe you could touch on tonight was talking about in your chapter 2 and talking about Dream Big is sort of what the difference is between dreams and goals and why dreams are important.
The reason why dreams are something that you aim is aiming very high, where you want to keep goals more in a realistic realm. Okay, goals is something that you're going to be able to achieve. Where, you know, there's an old saying that failure is not aiming high and missing. Failure is aiming too low and hitting. So dreams are something you want to aim really high. Just because you don't go, just because you don't make it to that level doesn't mean that you failed. But if you aim too low in life, in other words, if you just say, when you get out of college, I hope to get a job. Instead of saying that, you know, I want to get, I would like to be, you know, an engineer, or you want to work at a certain company, or be more realistic and write down those goals. But dream, and then you want to dream big in life.
Yeah, I think, that's one of the things I think is important for people to see, because you had two quotes in there that really hit. It's, you know, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take, and that.
I love that.
The one, it was either a teacher or coach you were talking about, he said, I hope you all fail, because if you don't, you didn't set your goals high enough.
Absolutely, man. Like I said earlier in the program, that, you know, we have to pass failure on the road to success. You know, it's like I said, it's not how many times you get knocked down, it's how many times you get back up. And those are the people that really become successful in life. And I tell people this all the time, that if you want to become successful, look at someone that's done it before you. Successful people leave a trail of success, especially with the internet and so many ways to find out. But I also found that successful people love to talk about themselves. They love to tell how they got to that point. And that's what we're doing in schools out here, is we're using mentors and mentees to work with students to help them, you know, realize and achieve the goals. But it's not just about writing them down. It's about taking action towards those goals.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic, because if something like this was around, there wasn't much, you know, I'm talking like over 20 years ago, but like when I was in high school and some of the stuff that was going on, like when you look at Champion and Choices and you look past the book and some of the other work you're doing, I just have to admire and like thank you for it. No, I know it's not impacting me now except for the book and some other things. I'm past the high school age, but it's amazing work you're doing. I just, you know, people are so lucky to have you around and having you as a resource. So just wanted to thank you, bro.
I really appreciate you. You know, DDP, I received a letter from a student that I spoke at a high school not too long ago, and in her letter, it said, the day you came to my school was the day I planned on taking my life. I had no idea I'd be in an assembly. Well, after hearing what you went through and how happy you are, I want to live. Well, immediately I sent that letter to her principal and the state coordinator at the school. They got this high school student into counseling. She saw she was meeting with a psychologist. And I just received an email from her on Facebook. She's my friend on Facebook, and she is so happy. She says, Mark, my psychologist told me that suicide is a permanent solution to a temporary problem, and I thank you for saving my life. Now, that's one of the beautiful letters I got, but DDP, the other day, there was a young man in Lando Lakes, Florida, that took his life because he was bullied at school. He actually shot himself. I was on the phone with his father the other day, and I cannot tell you the pain that you hear in a parent's voice that loses a loved one. And they always seem to say the same thing. They say, if I only knew, if he or she only told me. So when I reach out to these kids, I say, please talk to somebody, man. Don't hold in. We tend to just think that we can hold this stuff in, but it becomes like a volcano, and then it just explodes. And that's why I give my email address and a phone number at the end of my presentations, and these kids reach out and send me these emails where we're able to help these kids and possibly save more lives.
That's a powerful story, bro. That's a very powerful story. You know, it's getting out there and getting. I know you just came back from doing not too long ago, and I don't think we talked about it on the last show. Was you got back from Russia? Am I correct? How long ago? You weren't that long ago. You were in Russia. You did like five? Did you do five talks there or more?
I had six presentations in Russia. We spoke at high school churches, rehab centers. It was really powerful, because, you know, we used to, you know, it's funny, because when we grow up, we always think of the Russia, the Iron Curtain. They're the bad guys. We're the good guys. They wear the black hats. We wear the white hats. They're just like us. They're some of the most beautiful people. I had such a great time out there. I had the most amazing translator. Everything he said that I would say, they understood everything I said on stage. And there were so many people that turned their life around of our presentations up there about thinking positive, about believing in yourself, you know, because the world will tell you seeing is believing, but the truth is believing is seeing. You can accomplish anything you set your mind to, but you got to believe it in your heart, and that's where it starts. It's right in your heart.
Mark, let me lead in. I want to back into that story because there was something that happened that really allowed you to go on that trip that in the beginning you thought was like really, really bad. Remember when you were telling me about the guy talking while you were doing your presentation? Tell that story. Tell that story how this actually came about.
I was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I was doing a success summit. And a success summit is some of the most prominent people in the different denominations in Christianity. They were from different pastors from all over the world, from Russia, from Sweden, from Switzerland. It was just incredible. There was about 400 plus their wives. And I was doing a 40-minute presentation, and I was on the stage, and when I got up there and started speaking, there was a gentleman that was sitting in the front row, and he just kept talking to the guy next to him. And I'm thinking to myself, this is like so rude. I mean, these are professional people. Why would this guy be speaking the whole time I'm speaking? So I actually started working the other side of the stage more because it was like throwing me off. Like as I'm trying to concentrate
on
when someone's speaking, you're thinking, and I didn't want to say, hey, can you just quiet down? So I just continued my presentation. Well, at the end of my presentation, the man that was talking the whole time came up to me and had tears running down his cheeks. And he said to me, he goes, you must come to Russia. He goes, I just translated your whole sermon to my friend on recorder. And so he's translating as I'm talking during my whole presentation where I'm thinking, I want to knock this guy out.
That's what I was looking for. That's exactly what I was looking for. And the moral of that story is you never know what else this could mean. You know, Tony Robbins used to tell a story about this guy who was on a train, and he was on a subway, and the train wasn't that full, and this guy who was standing near him had these three kids, and they were going running all over the place and screaming and yelling and making all sorts of noise, and this guy who's standing next to him is like, why doesn't this guy take control of his kids? And it finally got to a point after he's been on there for 5 stops with this guy, and the kids are going crazy. He's finally about to cut a promo on him, and the guy looks at him and goes, hey, listen, I'm sorry if my kids are out of control right now. Their mom just died, and I really don't know how to explain it to them. And, I was like, whoa. he was letting them just go because he didn't know what to do. What else could this mean in that scenario? That would have been brutal if he cut a promo on that guy when it turns out, their mom just died. What a heel he'd have felt like. Here Marquez wants to knock this guy out because he's repeating his presentation in Russia. But in reality, is he wants to bring him to Russia to spread his word, which is very, very cool. And I wanted you all to hear that story. It's classic.
Yeah, guys, you're absolutely right. We never know what somebody else is going through in their lives. You know, sometimes we see someone that doesn't react the way we think they should. And I got a quick, cute story for you, Dallas, that I think you'll really enjoy. Is that these two best friends? They went camping up in the old frontier, and they were confronted by a large buffalo with the big horns. You know. And when they saw this buffalo, they looked at it like, wow, how beautiful it is. Well, the buffalo started charging these guys. They are running as fast as they can, and a buffalo is actually a really fast animal. Well, they realized this buffalo was gaining on them. They had no place to hide. So the one guy, he caught onto a tree, and he just climbed this little bush, and it was just high enough to get out of the way of the buffalo. Well, his friend Steve, he just kept running, and the only place he could run to, he saw a cave, and he ran into the cave. Now, his friend's up in the tree watching this, and the buffalo, is waiting for him to come out of the cave. Well, all of a sudden, the guy comes out of the cave, and he runs back in. And the guy in the tree sees him doing this over and over, running in and running out. And he says, so finally, he just yelled down to Steve. He said, Steve, have you lost your mind? Why don't you just stay in the cave until the buffalo gives up and goes away? And Steve yelled back. He says, it's well and good for you sitting up all safe in that tree, but what you don't know about this cave is there's a bear in here. So you never understand how someone reacts a certain way. We ought to want to jump to conclusions, but
right.
that we just don't know what other people are going through.
I love that story. You don't know, but there's a bear in here. That's great. Buffalo, what a bear in the other. Do we have any other callers out there, Robert?
Yeah, we've got several.
You're breaking up, bro.
Can you hear me?
Hey, you're just, can you hear me now? You're just a little bit foggy. who do we have coming up?
Matt Fisick.
Matt
What's
Fisick.
Up, Kellis?
What's
up, man?
Buddy?
How you doing?
Good, man.
Doing good, man. Doing good. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing great, Matt. Nice talking to you.
Good. Just want to say episode 9, Never Been Fatter, is on YouTube right now.
Tell Mark what you're doing with Never Been Fatter for some of the people who are listening.
Well, Never Been Fatter is a document of my journey on the YRG program. Just over 6 weeks ago, I started by coming up to Dallas at my Piggy Eaters event, and DDP was like, you know what? Start right now. You ready? Go. And documenting it. It's been awesome, man. It's been awesome. And this takes a look. This particular one, I did a little look at the first workout with you compared to the second workout with you. And you can definitely see a difference. It's amazing what the body can do in 4 weeks.
I tell you, Mark, when Maddie started out, and you know because you've done the workout with me, you know, when he got in the table position trying to bring his right hand out in front of him and his left foot back, which anybody who does YRG knows that's broken table. Well, that first session, he couldn't do it. He could only lift his one arm up or his one leg up, and, you know, got video footage of it, and he's really struggling just lifting the one arm. When you're weighing 439 pounds to start off and you haven't been active at all, you know, it's pretty challenging. And a month later, if you want to see it, go to Never Been Fatter, and that's Phatter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if you guys want to follow him on that on YouTube and follow his journey, go for it. Should be guaranteed. It'll be interesting. Plus he's a pretty colorful character on the tube.
Well, I just wanted to ask Mark, and you can chime in too on this, Dallas. I've been noticing a lot of comments on Facebook and stuff from friends who are saying stuff about work environments, that kind of stuff. And what would you guys suggest if I was talking to someone about how to handle toxic work environments?
Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I share this, that our friends, the people we become, who we surround ourselves with, your friends are like elevators. They either take you up or they take you down. But obviously in a work environment, you can't always just eliminate yourself from a certain place because you're surrounded by people. I always say that, you know, it's easy to get caught up in negativity. When someone says something, you say something back, and before you know it, negativity just breeds more negativity. You have to be the light, you know. You have to be the light amongst darkness. Even though people, you know, are being rude or people are saying things that you don't want to hear, you separate yourself as much as possible. But the more that you can be the light, all of a sudden that you'll see, or people can see the happiness in you, the joy in you, you're not going to let them get to you. Sooner or later, you'll see other people that want to be surrounded by you. People automatically, you know, it's just like people are very captivated by light. People want to be around light. So more and more people will want to be around you, where people that are in darkness or saying stuff about other people or being in a toxic work environment, I understand that. I was in the professional wrestling industry. So, I mean, exactly what you're saying. But you find that light. Dallas and I hung out a lot in wrestling. We traveled a lot together. But I've learned about gimmicks very young in my life. Okay.
Mm-hmm. know, and I'll just elaborate on that. You know, it's so easy to, I mean, you think you had a bad day? No, let me tell you what my day was about. I mean, you think you're hungover? Let me tell you how bad I was hungover. I mean, it's like, it's really, people will get on that roll, you know, and every one of us have fallen victim to it from time to time. But for me, especially where I'm at in my life today, you know, I don't want to be around negative people. I'll try to help you and try to help you turn you around. But you know this from your own experience with me, Matt. If you don't put the work in, I don't have the time for you. And you really can't put the work in if you're negative. If you're negative, right, you're not going to put the work in. So if it's, you know, it's like, I mean, I've just walked away from shit. You know, especially in wrestling, there's a thing called heat. And Mark and I both have felt that heat, you know, when someone is very jealous of what you've achieved or gotten or pushed or whatever, and you can play into that heat and get yourself even more heat, or you can just move away from the heat, you know, and just, my gimmick was, no matter what, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to take that, I'm going to fight for my spot, but I'm going to take the high road. And, you know, that's the only way you can do it. And do we all get pulled down, what I call emotional gravity? Absolutely. But you got to find a way to, you know, brush off those shoulders and keep coming back up, you know. You know, it'll all come back to it. It's not about how many times you go down, it's about how many times you get back up again. That's like the mantra, you know, of really people who want to stay in a positive life. So, all right, brother, appreciate you calling in.
Can you jump on that for a second?
Absolutely. That's what this is about. Please.
No, let me jump in on that for a second. I can share this with my own stuff, right? I've been a cop in a crime-infested bad city for a long time. I was there a few years ago. I was really, really at a bad spot with mentally, with things weren't going my way. I was under that impression that nothing was working for me. I can't get a break. I was supposed to get this thing. It didn't happen. I didn't have this thing.
Right? I remember that guy.
Right, and thank you, and thank you, because I remember after we worked out that day in Charlotte, and you kind of read me the marching orders, and then I went from waiting for someone to do something for me to getting off my ass and making something happen, and the bottom line is, now I'm a boss. I'm 25 pounds lighter than I was then. I feel like $1 million, because I got off my ass and made it happen, and the guys that I used to hang around with that would talk to me, I'd stop talking to them, I'd say hello, and Even today, I got a couple of text messages, and I had to say, who is this? Text them back, because I deleted their numbers from my thing. I thought what Mark said in his book. If you're not going forward, I don't have time for you. You know, if you want to hang around with clowns, go to Ringling Brothers. But you got to work it, but you don't have to make small talk. Gossip kills.
Born
yesterday.
Yeah, excellent.
All the clowns. You can't, because if you're not moving forward, you're going backwards. You don't have time.
And I'm going to interject something here, because Officer X actually, when he was going through his schooling, and like when I used to go to the power plant, you know, first one there, last one to leave when I was off the road, I was going to pay my dues and I was going to learn my craft. He had to go to the library. How many hours did you spend at the library, bro, to finally get there so you could get that Sergeant Stripes?
8 o'clock in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon, and work till midnight. Then I do it for another hour, and I did it every single day for about 4.5 months. And the only thing, and here's the deal: it was a chapel. It was a Catholic place. I would duck into the chapel and say some prayers in the middle. And every 10 minutes, I'd do some YRG workout in the stacks. The students would go by. I'd be doing 10-second push-ups and down dog and everything else. But you know what it is, when you want something, you set a goal, it just got to go. And I was thinking about how a couple of things haven't been working out lately. And when I was driving back from Middletown the other night, I said, the reason I'm all over the place is I didn't write down where I want to go. And if you don't know where you're going to go, you're not going to get there.
Hey, you know, it all comes down to,
hey,
baby, shut that door for me, will you, babe? And it goes, greeting people at the door here. Yo, what you did, Officer X, on that deal is you put some backbone behind that wishbone. I mean, that's what you did, brother. You put the work ethic in, because work ethic is what equals results. You know, the reason why Mark Merrill has a book is because he set a goal, he wrote it down, but he put the work in. You know, and I don't care if it's from trying to lose weight to get a better job to have a better relationship. You know, it takes work and communication, you know, and that's why we have this show, so you can communicate. You know, so on that note, let me see. I know we got other callers on here. I want to get as many as we can before Mark's got to leave because we're already running a little bit late here. Who else we got back there, Roberto?
Just so you know, we've actually got about six people left, and the next one up is Henry.
Henry, I know you want Dine to talk to Mark on here.
Of course.
I just want to say hello to DDP, Mark, and my bro Doug out there. How's
everyone? Hey, Henry.
Hey, Henry, how you doing?
Very, very well.
You got any tips on a good horse these days?
The horses are doing great. Anyway, I just want to make a few comments.
I just want to know, Henry, my dad had he used to have a racehorse, Batavia Downs. Are you over to Hamburg?
Absolutely. Well, I'm near there, yeah.
My dad had a racehorse. I think it's still running.
Oh, really? That's awesome.
But go ahead, Henry, anyway. What do you got?
I'll try and keep it. I know there's a lot of people. I just want to comment, and I wanted to let Mark know how great his book is. And, you know, my journey actually started with Positively Paged. That's really, honestly, I feel it started to change my life. It got me involved in YRG, which led to, you know, knowing people like Doug and Stacy and, you know, Mark now. And it's been a wonderful journey. And now, you know, Mark's book to me is like, you know, part two. You know, Positively Paged is part one, and his book has really been part two. And but I found what's been the most effective for me is, you know, instead of just kind of reading it and putting it in the bookcase, like, you know, maybe a lot of people do, I've been really taking a lot of it to heart. I've been putting little post-it notes on, like, you know, like Mark said, he put little notes on his computer with goals, and which I do also, but I also put, you know, little statements from his book, like just something like happiness is a choice. And I might only read one or two pages a day, but I really want to concentrate on what I consider like a simple yet profound statement like that and really make it, you know, part of my life. And actually, you know, as the Lord is my witness today, for the first time at work, I was walking the hall and somebody actually, they didn't say hello to me, they just said, "Happy Henry."
Thank you.
And I stopped, and I turned to him, and I said, "I just have to say that because lately you're always smiling, you're always happy." And, you know, so you may not think that reading a small book can change, but people notice that even though maybe you don't feel like it all the time, people are noticing. And, you know, I'll add another thing. So I gave it as a gift to a friend of mine, and he's going through a marital situation, a very hard time for him emotionally. He's not someone who is into self-help books or advice, kind of a hard type of guy. I snuck it in as a present this year at Christmas time. And again, today, just had dinner with him. I didn't say a word about the book, and all of a sudden he's sitting there and he says, "Hey, you know that book you gave me? It's some pretty great advice in there." And you know, it just made me so happier, even happier than what the book has done for me, to know that, you know, it's like planting a seed, and I'm seeing growth out of someone that I care about, and I don't know, there's just none of the things I can say about the book. And even I made a copy of the picture of Mark in the pool digging. To me, that was important, because it always reminded me of where Mark was at one point in his life, where he is now, where I've been many times at ditch, and still get there sometimes, but that I can make changes and get out of there just like he did, and he and Doug and everyone else. So just wanted to say those things.
Henry, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. You know, we've all been in pretty dark places in our lives, and that picture is a real example of where I was in my life when I just... Mm-hmm. We're hitting rock bottom, and it's like you find yourself digging your way out of a hole. And that's why I use that picture. But, you know, the reason why the book is doing so well is that I had one of the greatest friends write the foreword to it. And I don't know if they didn't mention yet. Dallas wrote the foreword to my book and did a great job. But, you know, Positively Paged was one of the first books I read kind of like kind of a self-help book or a book to help you come out of a dark place or just make you start thinking more positively. And this is, you're right, this is like a continuation of Dallas's book, and I really thank you for that. And anyone that would be interested in helping to change their life, they know someone that wants to change their life, you can just go to my website, which is ThinkPods, P-O-C, ThinkPods.org, ThinkPods.org, and you'll order the book right there.
Beautiful, beautiful. Let's try to get two more callers here for Mark. Mark, are you rushing? I know you've got a really tight schedule. You got enough for two more callers?
My wife just walked by with lingerie on, but I'll wait, okay?
Wow. All right, two more. What do you got?
The luckiest guy on the planet.
Bringing
you
up.
Robert, come on. Let's go. I know he's got to get off here.
Next on the line, we've got Brian.
Ryan,
hey guys,
how are you, man?
How's it going today?
Good, man. Where are you from?
I'm from Thomasburg, Virginia. I'm not too far from where you was in Greenfield Hill.
You got a question?
I've been to where you been there before.
That's all good, man. You know, I had a good time no matter what. You know, that's why I filmed all that. You got any question for Mark here?
Yes, I suffer from a rare lung disease called primary pulmonary hypertension. It also caused me to have heart failure, and it basically caused me to have a hole in between my chambers of my heart, which I look normal, but I have where a medicine pumps medicine in my chest 24/7 to keep my blood vessels open in my lungs so I can breathe.
Wow.
And all your positive influence. You know, I have to live that every day. I have to push myself because, I mean, sometimes I can't breathe, or going up the flight of steps just keeps my butt. I'm a heavy set guy. I'm a big guy. I'm 260 pounds. And, you know, I got disabled tags on my plate, on my vehicle. And, you know, you pull in there and you walk out. And you don't, you know, you walk normal. I walk normal. I look normal. I might be red in the face or something, but that's it. And you get weird, strange looks, and, you know, you have to blow it off and keep pushing forward, or else you're going to get bummed totally, completely out. And I've been listening to the show here the past couple of weeks and watching your video blog. I haven't read Mark's book yet, but I appreciate him putting out the word where you can look it up and order it. And I think that's what the world needs more is more positive influences to all this negativity, which you always see. You don't get enough views of the positive. You just get little clips of here and there, and it just needs to be, you know, more out there, I guess.
Absolutely, brother, absolutely. You know, and one of the things that, you know, might help you a lot is just, I know you, how tall are you?
Keep your eyes open.
6'1". You're carrying 260. Are you still eating processed food and, you know, junk food and stuff like that?
Not so much junk food. I don't eat junk food anymore because since the heart failure, you know, if I eat, like, chocolate, it speeds up my heart too bad. Or
right.
If I drink sodas or something like that, it screws with my heart too much and it causes it to skip beat or go rhythmic. So I got to watch that. As far as processed foods, cheese, yeah, I still eat some of that, yeah.
You should really try to drop at least 30 or 40 pounds of that off you, buddy, just because it would take a lot less for your heart. Your heart wouldn't have to work as hard. And it sounds like your heart's already having to work three times harder than ours.
The doctor said it's pumping at 70%. Of course, the human heart, normal, is between 65 and 75%. Mine's pumping at 70%. And it's all messed up. It's been it's rewired itself to work properly, but it's fighting an uphill battle because you got the hole in between there and lets unoxygenated blood back into good blood. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, keep staying strong, brother. I'm gonna be doing the show for a while, and I try to fill as much positivity as I can. And you know, I brought in Mr. Think Paz on top of that today to share some of his stories. And you know, I hope they continue to help you, man. And just keep moving forward.
I mean, it's good to listen to. Sorry to interrupt you. catch
no,
is sort of in between. But I'm really enjoying to listen to the show tonight and Mark's positive words and everything. And hopefully I'll be looking up this website and ordering a book soon and get even more positive thoughts.
Doug, also go to Team YRG.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right, brother. You have a great night, man.
You too.
Let's go to our last caller. Let's go to our last caller tonight here, Robert.
The last one is Josh.
Hey, Josh. What's up, man? Where are you from, bro?
Hey, I'm from Hammond, Indiana.
Very cool. You
right
got a question?
Yeah, I have a question. Well, I'm a wrestler, and I wrestle in Chicago. Really tough city to work in. A lot of guys, a lot of mouths at the table, as I like to say. You know, first thing I wanted to ask you, as a young wrestler, what's something that you can do to keep you from feeling, you know, bored or, you know, just, you know, because we work in the greatest business in the world. You know, I just want to keep that focus to keep pulling through.
I don't understand. You need to elaborate on that question when you're saying what to do. What are you, in what reference?
Well, what can you do? For example, I mean, what did you do when times got tough? And, you know, because I'm pretty sure there are times where it's all like, you know, man, this is tough. This heat is, you know, crazy. You know, I'm looking for, you know, an example of what can keep me going or what did you do to keep going and keep pushing, you know, when times get tough.
When you say times, you're talking about financially? You're talking about when people are...
I'm talking about just with the business, you know, just like guys in the business and, you know...
Bro, the people are telling you you can't do it and you'll never get there and you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You're talking about that kind of tough? Well,
yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Because I'm 300 pounds and I move really well for a guy my size. But I hear from a lot in the locker room from guys that you'll never make it. And, you know, you should just give them now.
All different kinds of stuff.
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I get that part. Okay, now you've... how old are you, for starters?
I'm 19.
Huh?
19. Okay, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
And 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because you know most of the guys that are at that height are high flyers. You know that, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so, like, at what level do you want to compete in this? Are you happy to do what you're doing independently? Or is your goal to get to the WWE? Is it goal or dream to get to the WWE? Because you see what they're producing right now, right?
Yes, I do.
What are they producing?
They're producing a lot of high flyers and a lot of high spotty kind of matches.
And guys who are, like, just chiseled.
Yes.
You know, and it's a shame to me, because to me, you know, I was at that show in Bluefield, and there was a big guy there, and I'd met him before in Chicago. And he's about 350 pounds, somewhere around there. But he was great, and he had a lot of charisma. And Robert, what's happening with that phone? Robert.
Whose phone?
I don't know. Somebody's.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. The bottom line is a lot of charisma, and it's a shame, but you probably will never see him at that level, and because he had a lot of charisma. Dusty Rhodes was a big guy, and to me it would be a shame that it would never have been Dusty Rhodes or an Abdul the Butcher. I'm hoping that the business changes again. And you're only 19, so you never know. So, you know, when I got hit with that negativity, I just kept moving forward. That's all
okay.
I can tell you, because, you know, I actually wrote it in the book. You know, on the last color page of all my pictures, I got a picture of me holding the belt up, and it says, I want to thank everyone who said I could never or would never, because nothing could have motivated me more. That's how I roll. You know, when you tell me I can't do something, you know, I just put my head down, I just keep working. And sometimes I might argue with you about it, you know, but the bottom line is I kept working through it. So that's the only advice I can give you. Stacy, Doug, do you have anything to say to Mark before we roll out of this? Because I know he's got to go on. He's 10 something East Coast time. So do you have any comment or question or anything?
No, yeah. I don't have anything. I the book is phenomenal. I mean, it's just another great read, just like yours. And I try to live exactly by what you guys do, live at 90%, and also live as positive as possible. You know, one thing I kind of wanted to mention, I was watching Joel Osteen on TV this week, and he was talking about kind of along the same lines about, you know, living in the past, and, you know, and it's all about choices. And he basically said, people that want to live in the past and be negative and complain about everything, he said, I have one thing to tell you, grow up. You know, you need to get over that and get on with your life.
I'm going to let that go. You know, and what I tell you, and Doug, when I when I went to San Antonio and spent that time with Doug, people would come up to me who were now, you know, has been friends with us for a long time, go, man, I don't know what you did, but now he used to be the most negative person in the world. Now he's the most positive guy I know. So it comes back to what Mark said at the beginning of the show. It's a choice. A to Z. Stacey, you have anything to input here before we crack out?
I apologize for my reticence.
Stace?
I
said
it simply
out of respect. Okay,
she said her battery. She said her battery died.
Her battery died. Okay, not a problem. Marky, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show, man. And anyone who is listening and wants to grab some of this Think Pause attitude, I totally recommend it. How to Be the Happiest Person on the Planet by Mark Merrow. Mark, where can they find your book?
Just go to my website. It's ThinkPoz, P-O-Z, ThinkPoz.org. And you order right there.
All right, guys. I want to thank you all for coming on tonight. And Stacey, sorry your battery burned out on you. And Dougie and everybody who called in. As usual, you've been wonderful. You've been marvelous. But booyah! Thanks for coming on, guys.
Listen up, bozos. Diamond Dallas Page here, the AWA's Diamond Exchange. And I'm here with the kings of the universe. We're talking the AWA Tag Team Champs of the World, Bad Company. And we're talking B-A-double-D, Bad. Woo, baby.
Dallas, you look great. How are you today?
I never had a bad day in my life, Daddy. And why not? I am the world's greatest professional wrestling manager in the world. A mastermind of the sport with great looks. Brains, good God, it's a deadly combination.
It's this man, Diamond Dallas Page, against the Macho Man, Randy Savage.
Savage, you want to come into my real world? I'm going to snap into yours.
Savage, when your buddy had Diamond Dallas had Savage.
Raven, I haven't forgotten everything you've done to me.
Got him off!
Oh, he got him!
There's only one Diamond Cutter! Diamond Cutter by Page!
It's
1, 2, 3!
Oh, we've got a new world champion, guys!
And it's DDP!
DDP, he earned it! He fought his power! They all did!
In history, Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world!
Say that again, Tony!
Diamond Dallas Page is the heavyweight champion of the world! I can't believe it!
Four competitors that went into the ring that had never worn the World Heavyweight Championship, but Diamond Dallas Page on Sunday, April the 11th, 1999, at Street Stampede has made history.
Well, I'd say unless your past changes their mind, I'm going to have to get the 18th birthday.
Who is it?
Have you done your yoga today?
DDP,
I like me, you like me, and I'm going to help you like you.